Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Welcome back to Spoon Press Audio. My name is Anna M, and today I'm going to be reading chapter 9 from my story, Don't Know Jack. Please remember to subscribe or follow this podcast wherever you're listening so that you can get notifications whenever there's a new episode. And now, without further ado, here is chapter 9. It is after 11 p.m. when the police are finally done taking their statements. The inspector offered to arrange for someone to drive them home, and while waiting for their lift, Charlotte studies Jack where he's sitting in the corner of the room, his head leaned back against the wall, his eyes closed. He looks deflated. Charlotte doesn't know why she feels this protectiveness towards this man she hardly knows, why she feels somehow responsible to make sure that he's okay. Maybe it's because she's been following him around all this time, she first thought. But now she's convinced it's more than that. After she saved Jack at the pool yesterday and then again at the station tonight, she can't help but feel like their stories are somehow intertwined. It's like the guy said to the girl in that movie, Titanic, "I'm involved now. You jump, I jump." And then there is that kiss. Charlotte has never been one for melodrama or soppy romance, but even though she kissed Jack purely as a strategy to escape his assailant, she can't deny that there was, well, some chemistry there. Where he's sitting now with his back against the wall and his eyes closed, she allows herself to take in the features of his face. He's not unattractive, but there's something hidden about him, as if he's far away most of the time, in some other place. It bugged her, seeing him with that Susanna woman earlier, the way she just dominated him, in appearance, in stature, in authority. What had happened in Jack Forrester's life that caused him to withdraw like that, to allow someone else to dictate the course of his life in such a way? Charlotte snorts, who's being melodramatic now. "I owe you an apology, Jack," she hears herself say. "For spying on you," she adds, and then smiles half-heartedly. "I'm not a bad person, I promise." He hesitates. "It's fine. Forget it." "No, I'm serious," she says. "I know it looks bad, the whole thing with Blake, but haven't you ever gotten involved with someone thinking they were one way and then halfway into the whole thing you realize that they're not who you thought at all, but by then they've kind of grown on you and you've gotten used to who they really are and so you just kind of go along with it even though you know it's not ideal?" Jack looks at her, silently. Then he says, "I guess." "I want you to know there's nothing between Blake and me anymore," Charlotte says, not knowing why she feels the need to explain. "When I met him, I didn't know about all his shady deals. I just knew he was exciting. He knew so much about photography and I suppose there's no excuse really. But you see, as long as I did the odd thing for him here and there, Blake let me use his cameras." Jack frowns. "His cameras?" She nods. "There's this photography competition I want to enter. The deadline is in 2 weeks. The winner gets to study in France for a year, all expenses paid." "You're a photographer," Jack says. "I want to be, and I had all this equipment, things that I've been purchasing over the years, and last year it all got stolen. There's no way I can afford to replace it now, but if I win this thing, I will get new cameras, new lights, rigs, all state-of-the-art stuff." "I see," Jack says, but there's a frown on his face. He's not looking at her, but staring at the floor, as if he's gone off someplace else again. "It's an amazing opportunity, really," Charlotte says. "But to enter, I have to submit a portfolio of at least 100 images. And so..." Jack nods slowly. "I get it," he says. "You do?" "The end justifies the means, right? I understand. I can't say I've never been in a similar position." Charlotte narrows her eyes. Oh? He hesitates. I always had this idea that by the time I'm 30, I would be a best-selling author or something. Surprised, she looks at him. You write? Not anymore, but I used to. These days, I only write the occasional sports article for the Daily Herald, as I guess you already know, seeing you've been following me around. What did you used to write then? Charlotte asks. A novel. Yeah? What is it about? He shakes his head. It's silly, science fiction-y stuff. I've had this idea for a story when I was in high school, but I never had the time to really get into it. And then, when I met Susanna, she suggested I take some time off, stay home, and just focus on writing. He sighs. Turns out, I'm not a writer at all. I'm just one of those millions of people who has an idea for a story, but not the talent to actually write it. Charlotte watches him, then says, I seriously doubt that. Jack doesn't say anything for a few seconds, and then, why would Susanna lie to me about who she is? Charlotte looks at him. I don't know. There must be some kind of mistake, Jack says, frowning. You know, Charlotte says, I've Googled her father yesterday, Grant Bushkin, the guy who's supposed to be a well-known businessman. Couldn't find anything either. Have you actually ever met him? Jack hesitates. No. Not in person. Have you ever been to Susanna's work? No, but she has an assistant and everything. She's on the phone all the time. There must be a misunderstanding somewhere. It doesn't make any sense. Jack sighs and rubs his hands over his face. I wish I knew what to do. I feel so... Charlotte interrupts him. I think we should take another look at that book, she says. Surprised, Jack looks at her. What book? The Turn of the Sky, remember? The one in Mr. Baducci's flat? Jack frowns. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know, Charlotte says. Maybe nothing, maybe everything. When I saw Mr. Baducci earlier at the hospital, when he told me about his dream and about you being at Kilburn Station, he called you Jack Forrest again. That's not my name, Jack says. No, but it turned out to be you at Kilburn Station, right? And also, don't you find it odd that you want to become a writer and write a novel, and that there is this guy with your name, well, a similar name, who has actually written a novel, and a science fiction-y one at that? I don't, actually, Jack insists. Jack is a common name. I'm sure there are millions of Jack Forrests and Jack Forresters out there. There are, Charlotte nods, but not one of them wrote a book called The Turn of the Sky. Jack frowns. What do you mean? I Googled it as well, she shrugs. There's literally no reference of that book anywhere online. Maybe it's not that well known, Jack suggests. Come on, Jack, everything is online. My 3-year-old niece's favorite book called Nappies for a Princess is online. Patricia the Pie Lady's autobiography is online. He frowns. Who? Never mind. My point is, that book Mr. Baducci showed us doesn't seem to exist, nor does its author. I just think there's way more going on here than we think. Oh, you mean other than strange women appearing in mirrors and paparazzi wanting to kill me? Jack rolls his eyes. Charlotte can't help but grin. Yeah, other than that. But then she turns serious. I think we should go back to Mr. Baducci's flat and take another look at that book. I have the keys, remember? Jack hesitates. It's not there, he then says. And then he tells her how he had found the book in his pocket, how he had accidentally taken it home. Well, that's sorted then, Charlotte says. What is? He asks. I'm coming home with you. It is 2 minutes before midnight when Jack and Charlotte enter the flat he shares with Susanna. He had half hoped that she would be there, that there would be a light on, or the telly, and that Susanna would be at the counter with a glass of wine hunched over some fabric samples. But the place is eerily still. He flips the switch, and when the living room lights up, It is clear that everything is still exactly the way it was when he and Susanna stepped out earlier to go for supper. "You okay?" Charlotte asks. Jack nods, but remains standing, not sure what to do. "What are all these boxes?" Charlotte asks. They're full of material, fabric samples and things, for the launch of a new fashion line." He stops himself, and then quickly goes to the nearest box. Frantically, he rips the lid open and then shakes the contents out on the floor. A pile of fabric, nothing more. "Hey," Charlotte says, and she steps up to place a hand on his arm. "I don't understand," he cries frustrated. "Why would she lie?" "I don't know," Charlotte says, "but we'll figure it out. I am really, really good at solving mysteries." Jack turns to look at her. "This is not a game," he says. "This is my life." "I know, I wasn't..." She sighs. "Let's take a look at that book, yeah? Where did you put it?" Jack thinks. "The bathroom," he then says. "It's through there. I put it on the... There's a stack of magazines." "Mind if I..." Charlotte asks. "Suit yourself," he says, and then he slumps down on the arm of the couch. Charlotte looks as if she's about to say something else, but she doesn't. Instead, she steps over the pile of material samples and walks to the bathroom. Within a few seconds, she reappears in the hallway entrance. "I don't see it," she says. "It's on the stack of magazines." "It's not." Jack walks over, presses past her, and steps into the bathroom. The book is not with the magazines. Frowning, he turns around and searches the small room. It's not there. "I'm sure I put it there," he says. "Could Susanna have taken it?" Charlotte asks. "No, I put it there just before we left, before..." He stops, then shakes his head. "No one's been in here." "Are you sure about that?" Charlotte asks. And when he looks at her, she points to something on the floor. Jack frowns and looks closer. On the white tiles, leading up from the shower to the pile of magazines, are what look like small muddy footprints, still wet. His body goes cold as he stares at it. "Jack?" Charlotte asks, softly, her tone a warning. But Jack isn't listening. He steps up to the shower and yanks away the curtain. Then he gasps. The shower floor is wet, with mud stains everywhere. The shower head above is still dripping as if it has just been turned off a few minutes ago. And in the middle of the floor lies something yellow, tossed in a pile. "What is it?" Charlotte asks, peering past him. With a shaky hand, Jack leans over and picks up the yellow thing. It is a child's raincoat. Guys, that was then chapter 9 of Don't Know Jack. I hope you like it. Things are definitely getting curiouser and curiouser. I will be back shortly with chapter 10. In the meantime, drop me an email at spoonpress_UK@gmail.com and let me know what you think of the story. I'd really love to hear from you. Okay, I'm off. Have a good day. Stay cool. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.